This brings us then to our scripture reading this morning, and I hopefully you're able to see that on your screens from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Although when I was with you a couple of Sundays ago, we started the series, I told you I'd be preaching through 1 John. In the present circumstances, I have decided to set that aside, at least temporarily. This morning, we want to seek God's comfort in his word as he speaks of his great comfort in 2 Corinthians 1. So let's listen to the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, as we come now to the proclamation of your word this morning, I ask, O God, first of all, that you would fill me with your spirit, give to me clarity of thought and of speech, help me, especially as I deliver your word through a form that is new to me in terms of preaching. I ask that you would give clarity of thought and of speech so that your word will go forth with power. And Lord, we ask that you would open each of the hearts and minds of those of us who are listening, who are part of this worship this morning. Strengthen us through your word. Reveal Christ to us. And through it, give us comfort and empowerment to serve and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to take this scripture reading down. Okay. I think I was about 15 years old, so this was a while ago, when our Boy Scout troop went on a hike at Mount Whitney in the Sierra Nevadas. It's on the backside of where Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks are. It's the tallest peak in the continental United States, stands at somewhere around 14,500 feet in elevation. And drove up on a Friday night, and we had some other school events going on. So a small group of us, at least, didn't arrive at base camp until approximately 2 or 3 in the morning. And base camp by itself was at about the 8,000-foot level. We essentially took a nap for 4 to 5 hours out on the ground on the mountainside and rose early in the morning to make our ascent of this mountain. The goal was to reach the top that day and then to come down the next day. Well, let me tell you, I have never experienced what I experienced that day. Incredibly wicked nausea from altitude sickness. I was as miserable could be. Thankfully, one of the scoutmasters had brought along some Pepto-Bismol tablets, and I was taking those, and they helped a little bit. But honestly, that didn't do the trick. We hadn't had enough time to acclimate to the lower oxygen levels. And so when we finally reached the 12 or 13,000 foot level, where we were going to spend the night before attempting the final ascent the next morning, I found myself incredibly panicky, very anxious to go home, and incredibly unhappy to be where I was. Well, as night fell, the wind was whipping and howling. We were above the tree line. There's no vegetation up there. And all I could think of was, how am I going to get home? I want to be home. I want to be in my bed. I want to be with mom and dad. I want to be safe. Well, thanks be to God. A very good friend of mine, who's also a fellow scout, had done the crazy deed of lugging up a small tent with him all those miles of switchbacks back and forth up the mountain. And he very kindly offered to me to sleep in the tent. It was large enough for two of us to be in there. And the tent helped to break the blowing wind a bit and to provide some added warmth. And it felt at that moment very much like a mom giving a great big bear hug after a bad day at school. The relief to have some shelter was incredible and indescribable comfort. That didn't immediately change the situation, of course. We're still up on this mountaintop. But what an encouragement, what a moment of peace and of rest and of comfort to be protected by a tent rather than sleeping in the open. Well, whether you think of a tent 12, 13,000 feet above atop Mount Whitney, or the comforting embrace of your mother or your father or grandmother or some other comfort bearer, in these good things, we have a small taste, an appetizer, if you will, to whet our appetite for the main course of God's comfort through Jesus Christ. These are a small picture of the compassion of the only one who can provide genuine joy, hope, strength, to press on in the face of suffering, in the face of fears, of pains, of aches, of agony, of illness. In 2 Corinthians 1, Paul here describes God as the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. That word translated mercies there, in this context, is actually better translated something like the Father of compassion, because Paul is emphasizing the deep feeling with which God comes to be our comforter. And he says he is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction in order that we can comfort others. What he wants you and me to understand right off in this section of the letter is that your suffering is never in vain. Your sorrow is never pointless, even when it might seem that way. The ache in your heart opens the door for God's indescribable comfort to enfold you, to care for you, and in due course, to empower you to be a comforter to others. You see, suffering is a given in life. We will never escape it in this fallen, broken world. But for you as a Christian, your suffering is always a suffering in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that suffering in union with Jesus also means that his comfort abounds to you. Paul says in verse 5, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." You see, God is your Father through Jesus. And as the Father of mercies, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, notice he doesn't leave any kind of comfort out. He's the God of all comfort. He comes to you and he comes to me to meet us in the midst of fears and of sorrows, of pain, of suffering of any kind, to bring his limitless and powerful comfort for us. Now, for the remainder of the message this morning, I want to briefly point out for you seven forms that God's comfort takes. This is certainly not exhaustive, but my hope here is to give you a taste of the kinds of things that Paul has in mind when he is telling us here that God is the God of all comfort. And I hope then through this reminder from God's word of a few different ways in which he brings that comfort, you will be encouraged and strengthened in your faith. First of all, God's comfort comes to us in the comfort of peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When our peace is shattered, we're anxious, we're restless, we might feel agitated. But what God is saying to you and me, both in 2 Corinthians 1, as he introduces himself as the God of all comfort, and what he's saying to you and me in Philippians 4 is this, that when we go to him in prayer through Christ, he promises to grant calmness, serenity, tranquility. He doesn't guarantee to give you and me precisely what we ask, but he assures us that we will have peace that comes through Jesus and through Jesus alone. And he says that peace will guard against the agitation and the restlessness and the anxiety that you and I so often experience. Have you ever experienced that kind of peace in your life? Maybe while going through an illness, you prayed and the Lord brought parts of his word to your mind to remind you that he's with you, and so you had that peace. Think about an opportunity, a time when you did experience that, and dwell on it, reflect on it, thank God for it, and then know that it's not just once that God gives his peace to us. He's ready to give us that peace every day of our lives. And so when God says that he is the God of all comfort, you and I can be assured that he is the one who comes to give us the comfort of peace, so we don't have to be restless in our hearts, full of anxiety and fear, but we can have peace through Jesus. The second way in which God comes to us as the God of all comfort is in the comfort of rest. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you ever worked hard all day, or perhaps days or weeks on end? I'm sure we've all had that kind of experience. Perhaps a major project due for school, or the year-end report for your boss. Hours and hours of labor in the factory or in the farmer's fields. And what happens when we work and work and work and don't have a real break? We long desperately for some rest. We want the day to end so we can go home. We want the project completed so we can set it aside and take a deep breath and rest for a time. We look forward to vacation. We look forward to the end of projects, to the end of harvesting, to the end of manufacturing. Because we know when that vacation arrives, when the project ends, we'll experience some rest and relief. Now, I want you to think about that feeling for a moment. Whatever your burden, whatever your suffering, whatever trial or tribulation you might experience, when you run to Jesus, when you call to Him, He grants you true genuine and deep rest. Just like that feeling when the day is over and you can rest from the day's labors. How much more deeply can we find rest in the midst of all of life's challenges when we run to the Savior who gives us rest? You see, when you put your faith and hope in Christ, even in your weariness, even when you and I are tired in this life, we can experience the comfort of rest. When Elijah was running away from Jezebel, he had just fought and killed all these false prophets of Baal, and now he's running as Jezebel threatened his life. And what happens? God brings him in the region of Beersheba to a place where he gives him a tree where he can have shade and rest from the heat of the day. And he provides food and water for him to care for him. And Elijah is then refreshed by that and is able to continue his journey to meet with God at the mountain of God. When we trust Jesus, even when our bodies are tired, when our minds are weary, we can find rest for our souls. When Jesus speaks of rest in Matthew 11, it's not simply a rest from weariness. It's a rest also from seeking to earn our own righteousness. He's reminding you and me that He's done everything to make us right with God so that God can truly be the Father of compassion and mercy for us and the God of all comfort. When He says, "Come to me," He's reminding you and me that He's done it all so that we are right with God. And He gives that to us as a free gift. And part of that gift and hope and promise that is His comfort of rest to us is this, that when we find rest from our labors in Jesus, we are assured that there also remains an eternal Sabbath rest for us that He mentions and describes in Hebrews 4, that when Christ comes again or we die in this life, we will be with Him eternally resting in the joy of God's presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so God comes as the God of all comfort, giving to us both His peace and His rest. The third way that God comes as the God of all comfort is as the one who is all wise. He comforts us through and with and by His wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You see, God is not simply or only all-knowing. He is at the same time all-wise. In the midst of temptation, any form of trial, God in his wisdom sets limits. He won't allow you, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, he won't allow you to go through a trial, through temptation, through a difficulty that is greater than you can handle. But he provides the way out of it at the same time in order that you might make it through to the other side. Now, this doesn't mean that he gives us what we think is best, but it's a guarantee that God's wisdom is at work. He knows what he's doing so that when you and I face troubles, face woes, pain, agony, suffering of any kind, we can be assured that he knows what he is doing and he's using it to bring blessing to us and to equip us, as we read earlier in 2 Corinthians 1, to bring comfort to others. And so we can and must trust him and his judgment regardless of what comes our way. And so we can have the comfort of God's wisdom because he is the God of all comfort. Fourth, God comes to us with the comfort of his care and kindness. I want to read a few different verses to you, and then I'll say a little bit about what this means. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. So take note of that word, cares. Then Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus quoted those words in that synagogue and declared, "Today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your presence." The good news for the poor and the comfort for the brokenhearted comes through Jesus. You see, that's the comfort of knowing that God cares, because God, through Jesus, is fulfilling his promise to bring that good news, to bind up those who are brokenhearted. You see, if God didn't care, what hope could we possibly have of any comfort? But it is the fact that God cares. What that means is that he's concerned for you. He's interested in you and in me. This truth gives comfort. God cares. He does bind the brokenhearted. In that is the image of bandaging a wound after placing soothing ointment on it. It's a comfort to know that God cares, and he comes with the ointment to heal and the bandage to cover the wound, because he is the God of all comfort and the Father of compassion. And so be assured, no matter what goes on around you, no matter what's happening in your own life, God is the God of all comfort and of compassion, cares for you. And that's part of how he is the God of all comfort for you and me. Take time to reflect on that truth, that God cares for you. Let it sink in deeply, and then you will experience the joy of the Spirit through Christ. Fifthly, God is the God of all comfort, comes to us with the comfort of hope. In the midst of sorrows and hardships, it's very easy to lose our hope. It's easy to give up, to throw in the towel. One of the first things they teach in pastoral counseling is the importance when people come and they're suffering to remind them and help them to have hope and to put their hope in Christ. Well, God is the God of all comfort, including the comfort of hope, because through Jesus, He continues to give us hope regardless of our circumstances. He gives us the anticipation of good that is yet to come. That's the idea of hope, so that we press on, so that we can persevere. Listen to Psalm 42, verse 5, for example, and the same verse is repeated later in that psalm in verse 11, and then again in Psalm 43, verse 5. Those two psalms, 42 and 43, go together. But listen to these words, Psalm 42, 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my God, my salvation, and my God. You notice that language. It's when we put our hope in God that we can find joy and know that we will praise Him when He brings His goodness to pass for us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 23 to 25. I'm not going to read all of those there, but Paul is talking about having the first fruits of the Spirit and groaning inwardly as we wait for our adoption as the sons of God. Paul says, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." And so God comes to us as the God of all comfort, and He gives us hope because that hope fosters the patience and the perseverance that we need to make it through this life, to make it through hardships and pains and difficulties. It cheers us with the anticipation of the marvels that are yet to come. Jesus said in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am." That's our hope, that we will be with God forevermore, and that hope is one of the means He uses to bring to us, to bring to you and me, His comfort. God is the God of all comfort for you who are His children through Jesus. Sixthly, God is the God of all comfort, comforts us by His presence. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, He says, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" And Jesus says, Matthew 28, 20, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When Jesus promises that He prepares a place for us to take us to be with Him, in that same passage, He promises to send another helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, because He says, "I am not going to leave you as orphans." How comforting it is to know that we have this powerful God with us, Father, Son, and Spirit, wherever we go. He has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." How comforting to know that God is with us. Let me illustrate this comfort a little bit, the comfort of presence, that is, of having someone with us, with a little story from my experience. I was a freshman at UCLA, and I come from a pretty small high school, and suddenly on a campus of something at that time was between 30 and 35,000 students. I didn't know my way around, and someday I'll share with you the story of getting lost inside buildings and so on, but that's for another day. But it was an incredible comfort to me one day in that first year when I happened to run into a a friend, a longtime friend from church. She had just transferred from community college to the university. She was a few years older than me, and it was like having a big sister that I needed at that moment to bring comfort to this shy and frightened little freshman on campus. Her presence alone brought comfort. How much more, how much greater to know that God has said, I am with you always. I will never leave you, never forsake you. If people can give us comfort when we feel alone and afraid, how much more when we realize that God is truly, fully, and completely present with you and me wherever we go. Though we can't see him with our bodily eyes, we can know that he is with us always. And we look forward to that day when we will see him and be with him in the glories of heaven above. And so God comes as the God of all comfort to bring you his comfort by his very presence. And finally, a seventh way in which God comes to us as the God of all comfort is this. He assures us of ultimate victory over death. We cry when we lose our loved ones, when they come to the end of their lives on this earth. Many people are mourning today with the thousands who have died because of this virus around the world. Many are mourning deaths of loved ones from other causes as well. But for you as a follower of Jesus, God comes as the God of all comfort to assure you that death is not ultimately victorious. The true and ultimate and eternal victory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is victorious over all things, including death. Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery, 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The victory of Christ over death and sin, that's the greatest comfort. When you put your faith in Christ, who is the gospel, the good news from God the Father, then his Holy Spirit, as the great comforter, will give you the comfort that not even death is to be feared. You see, that's the gift of the God of all comfort, assuring you and me that even when these mortal bodies are laid in the grave, we are immediately in the presence of our God, Father, Son, and Spirit forevermore. We close our eyes here, but we open them, seeing and hearing the marvels of angels singing, and our Father welcoming us home, our Savior embracing us, and the Spirit telling us that we now experience comfort for all eternity. And so, brothers and sisters, even in what is a time of crisis and of challenge, of fear, of difficulty, be assured of the God of all comfort who comes to you as your God through Jesus. And may he, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, comfort you now and always until the end of your days on earth and forevermore. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word to us as we have reflected this morning on what it means when you say you are the God of all comfort. Lord, we thank you for this sampling from different parts of your word of what that means. And we pray that you would help us, each and everyone through Jesus, to experience your powerful comfort now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.